Who is this, everyone? Okay. This is Governor Rick Snyder of Michigan. And I was going to wait to do this when we do our current events, but I'm going to kind of intertwine this tonight. So we're going to begin at our current events for November 18th right now. But our governor, here's the from CNN. Now, CNN, once again, you have to get your news from somewhere, correct? Now, remember, all news is filtered. Right? I mean, there's a filter going on. CNN, just so you guys know, is not the Christian news network. Okay? And I went through a couple of things today. ABC. Anybody watch ABC? It's okay. If you want to raise your hand, if you don't want to, that's fine too. I won't ridicule you. Afterwards, I will. But ABC, All About Christ News Network. It's not about All About Christ. CBS, Christian Broadcasting Station. Nope. NBC, Nationally Broadcasting Christ. Nope. MSNBC, Missions Broadcasting Center. Nope. Fox, Friend of Christos, or X. Get it? That was pretty good. I thought, okay, not as good as you. I thought you'd like it. Okay, so you have these news outlets, news organizations you have, and the three that I like to use predominantly is the Jerusalem Post, Times of Israel, and the BBC. Now, you can get those if you guys have an iPad, if you guys got your phones, on your computer, wherever you get your news, those are the three. It's like, where do you get your stuff from? Those are the three main news sources I go to. Now, why would I choose that? I like to go in the Middle East to get my Middle East news because the filter is a little bit different here. Now, whether or not it's because it's the United States or not, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Egypt, and when the plane was shot down, it's confirmed now, ISIS did shoot it down. You saw Russia. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. So, but the first reaction from President Sisi of Egypt was, hey, we don't know if that was a bomb or if someone got shot down, right? Because why? He didn't want to look bad on Egypt. So when a country is presenting news, it doesn't want it to make itself look bad. You're presenting countries, so you don't want to make it look bad. So there's always going to be a filter. So when you're looking over BBC reporting about what's going on in the Middle East, they're not trying to cover up for BBC, and they're not trying to filter it for the United States. Here it is. Times of Israel and Jerusalem Post. Once again, these are not Christian organizations, but they're telling you what's going on right there in the middle of Israel. Now, they're not telling you from the biblical perspective, yet all news is biblically perceived through here. Okay, when you look at scripture, it's like, oh, well, I don't know. Sure. Well, no, Pastor, I think it's political. Everything is biblical. When you look at it through the eyes of scripture, it's biblical. When people says, well, I don't want to have a political conversation, fine, don't politicize the Bible. It's all biblical. It's what's going on in the world is a biblical thing. And that's what we're going to be, like, speak on a little bit in this current event tonight. So it says more than half the nation's governors, so as of a week ago, remember we reported this? We talked about this on current events. We were going to get a couple hundred thousand people in the United States. Remember that? Coming over from overseas, many from Syria. Some reports there was 50. Some was this. That was the initial wave was 50,000. And there was several more, not just in the United States, but to the Northern Europe as well. But now, more than half the nation's governors say they oppose letting Syrian refugees in their states. Although the final say on this contentious immigration issue will fall to the federal government. Once again, this is from the Christian News Network, CNN. All right, so just here's the filter. This is the story they're sharing. States protesting the admission of refugees range from Alabama and Georgia, Texas, Arizona, Michigan, Illinois, Maine, New Hampshire, among totaling 31 states. All 30 of them are Republican governors. Okay, now, that last bit, you can tell this is a filtered news story, right? Now, I'm not talking about from a Democrat or Republican side. I'm just saying I don't understand why that is, okay? You guys understand? So I understand governors are sticking up. Here's the state's information. Bam. So what are they trying to say? What is this piece trying to say? So you can look up the writer. You can find out what a writer believes. Find out what a writer believes. Now, this goes in. I'm going to put that on pause. This goes back to when you start reading books about this book, you better know who that author is. These 66 authors or 66 books have been tried and true. There's no lie. They're not. It always backs up. We've been looking at Scripture. Scripture confirms the Scripture. But now you start reading other books, and you have to start reading. You have to start looking at the filter of the author of what kind of a background are they from? I mean, how did they grow up? Do they have this type of background? What religion did they grow up? Do they not believe in the Holy Spirit? Is the Spirit for the day? So you start looking at all these things. They will speak, and sometimes you can just read it, and it's very obvious the point that they're coming from. But here, it's pretty easy. All but one are Republicans. Oh, okay. So the announcement came after authorities revealed that at least one of the suspects believed to be involved in the Paris terrorist attacks entered Europe among the current wave of Syrian refugees. The announcement came after one of the suspects believed. So what they're saying is, once again, this is just a knee-jerk reaction. Just one person? And all the Republican governors are so upset. Okay. Now, this person writing this must not think we actually read the news. Because this has been going on for years. And this is not about one person. So, okay, well, where are we going with this? Is this political? Nope. It's all biblical. It's all biblical. As the article goes on, it talks about the refugees that are being denied into the United States are going to be put on hold, but the Obama administration announced that it will start entry soon, regardless. Regardless, it will start doing it. And the states have promised to come up against that. Do you guys think there's going to be some heated debates going on? So what you have now is the presidential candidates. There's a whole other thing to talk about now. Yeah, but that's political. Oh, no, it's all biblical. Why could it be biblical? Because of what is going to be happening. It gives enough time so we can go into the vetting process of how do you find out who's what for this and so on and so forth. Okay, but I want to go to the next one. We're going to tie this right into the next current event. Not just the media. There's other people who just want to just, well, this is what Jesus would do. He would just allow everyone, right? They read the verses in the Bible. You just love the foreigners, right? You guys know that's old New Testament stuff, right? So we take a verse and we blanket it and stick it on top of something without studying the word. What does it say? What does the word say? Interesting enough, President Obama refuses to allow the Yazidi and Assyrian Christians fleeing ISIS to enter the United States. This has been going on for a year. Okay, so there's something going on, everyone. You see, in Mount Sinjar to the north, you'll see Baghdad for reference point in Damascus. A year after the U.S. airstrikes and the Kurdish fighters, we studied that, where the Kurds are in the northern part of Iraq. The population from death at the hands of ISIS atop Mount Sinjar to the north of your screen, the historic Christian enclave is facing death throughout its homeland, now in several different countries, reaching from Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Armenia, Georgia, and even who are seeking asylum in the United States. But so far, all Kurdish Christians have been rejected from coming into the United States. Now, so what's going on here? Once again, this is not political. This is a biblical thing, which is going on. Well, I don't know if you're being very honoring to our president. I'm talking about what is going on in the world. What is going on in the world? So for the last couple days, people have been having discussions since this weekend about, is it right to stop the refugees from coming over? Is it a political thing? Is it a governmental thing? What should Christians do? What should we say? What should we speak? What does the Bible say? All I know is, I know what the word says, and God says the word must be preached. And he says anyone who comes up against the word, he is going to put a stop to them. If anybody comes up against the word from being preached, he's going to go against them. So it sounds like God wants the word to be preached. Islam does not want God's word to be preached. Does everyone agree with that? We've studied that. Islam, well, you're talking about all the Syrians. I didn't say Syrians. I said Islam. Islam does not want God's word to be preached. The Bible also tells us to be wise as what? Serpents. So I got to think like a serpent thinks. They're sneaky. They're sly. They're trying to get in somewhere. Oh, what does that mean? Well, the Quran says for a Muslim to come in sneakily, to get inside the westernized culture, right? Indoctrinate yourself. And at one point when the last caliphate, we read this right out of the Quran, then they go attack. This is right. So we're reading what's good. So the Bible says, be wise, be gentle as a dove. We know, not just constitutionally speaking, but the government is here to protect us, correct? So we have laws set up in the land. Does everyone agree that we have laws set up in the land? Who's got a speeding ticket lately? Oh, come on. Come on. You told me you did earlier. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so there's laws set up that's established. And why? To keep peace. So there's unity. There's a sense of establishment. We know what the laws are. So in an effort to keep peace. In Romans 13, it says, let every person be loyal, subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except for God. And he's given us and he's put authority over us. Now, when that authority says something to do something contrary to God's word, then we're not to abide by that. Because God's word trumps them, but he puts a governing body over us. If you're in the United States, if you're in Sweden, whatever. So there's rules that are to be in place, and we are to support that. So what does that mean? So if you look at the laws of the land, and you have someone who doesn't want to abide by the laws, whether it's you and I or a government official, follow me on this. Romans 13 says we are to abide by the laws of the land. Even if you're a government official, if you don't want to obey the laws, there's penalties. So what governors are trying to do from their perspective from the states is trying to say, let's stop, let's look at the laws here. Okay? So what we're seeing, whether you're for or against, and say, well, I think they all should come in at one time. Well, I don't think there's, okay. What is happening is there's laws to protect everything. You and I have the right to vote for new laws or new people to go in. In the meantime, there's laws on the books, and the governors are saying, hold on, let's review the laws and make sure we're doing this what is right. Why? Because you're there for our safety and our for protection. They're doing their jobs by trying to protect us. So in the Quran, it says to lie, be deceitful to Christians and to Jews, to infiltrate society. It's right out of the Quran. And the Islamic leaders, not just overseas, but in our own country, if you're watching CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, it says the Islamic leaders want to kill the people of the United States. Well, what happens if we come up against them and they need to hear Jesus? Do you not think Jesus knows? But what if I come up against them and they've never heard the gospel? Do you don't think Jesus is big enough to figure that out? But God says, first and foremost, to protect those inside the house of God. First and foremost, he protects his own. There's a protection. Now, what about those who haven't heard the gospel yet? My message is to go out and share the gospel, be wise as a serpent, be gentle as a dove, make sure that everyone hears. Interesting enough, in Luke 10, there's a story. Let's go to Luke 10 real quick. Luke 10. Now, what am I, Pastor, just tell me yes or no tonight. What I'm going to give you is the word, and let the Holy Spirit is going to work on you. And I'm going to talk about this more in the weeks to come because these are issues that we've never been around before, and these are things that we need to think about, look at God's word for. So Luke chapter 10, this is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Now, after the Lord chose and appointed 70 others, some say 72, depends on your translation. It's not heresy if it's 72 or 70. He sent them out ahead of him two by two. So he chose some people to go witness into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest indeed is abundant, but the farmhands are few. So pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send out lambs. I send you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Woo! That's not a big pep rally, is it? All right, come on, everybody with their hands in. All right, I'm going to send you out like lambs to the wolves. Okay, go get them, guys. Verse 4, so carry no purse, no provision, no change of sandals. Refrain from retarding your journey by saluting and wishing anyone along the way. Don't get sidetracked in ministering. Don't take anything with you and set up camp. You're not going to stay anywhere long enough. You're going out to get the word out. Everyone see this? Jesus telling them to go. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to be with peace in that household, freedom from all the distresses, and the result of the sin be with your family. If anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there, the peace and blessedness you wish shall come upon them. But if not, it shall come back to you. Stay on in that same house, eating, drinking what they provide, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whenever you go into a town and they receive and accept and welcome you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come close to you. But whenever you go into a town and they do not receive and accept and welcome you, go out into its streets and say. Now, here's some instructions here. Jesus saying, go out and be my witness. And anybody who wants to hear it, fine. Set up, tell them all about Jesus. Tell them about me because I'm coming. He said he sent them out before he would come. So now he's saying now. But if they don't listen to you, verse 11, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we are wiping off against you. Well, that's not very loving. But isn't, wait, hold on a second. Let's back this up. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Jesus, later 15 verses later, says Jesus came, manifested himself in the name of a person, right? Jesus came in the form of a man, dwelt among us. Later it says that God, or Jesus, is love. So if God is love, he sent his son to represent him. Jesus is love. Jesus is speaking love. And Jesus says, go somewhere, share the gospel, and if they don't accept it, even the dust of their town that clings to your feet, wipe it off. Yet no one understands this. The kingdom of God has come near you. Guess what? You had your chance. Wow, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? Does that not sound harsh? Jesus, God sent his only son to die on the cross, and this is what Jesus has to say? Yes, because the time is so short. And there's other people that need to hear the gospel. If someone doesn't want to receive it, if someone rejects you, Islam is a total rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Islam is a total opposite rejection of the person of Jesus Christ. Well, but what about Muslims who are converting to Christianity? I'm not saying they are. I'm saying Islam. If someone is following Islam and they're setting up caliphates and they're putting black flags and said this whole town is under Islam and it is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you had your chance. Time to move on. Next. That sounds harsh. Spare the rod, spoil the child sounds. You know what? Doesn't that sound harsh? Spank your child? I don't believe in spanking. The word says to spank. Well, I would never do that. Okay, well, Jesus said to do that. Well, I can't believe he's a loving God. He loves you so much. That's how he wants to discipline. The word says that God only disciplines the ones he loves. He disciplines the one he loves. What do you think about the people who come up against the one he loves? Whoa. Bible says Old and New Testament, he rolls over on those people. He goes, vengeance is mine. Let me take care of it. I can do so much better than you can. I tell you, verse 12, it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than that for that town. Whoa, Sodom rained fire and brimstone on that town. Sounds like something God's going to take care of it. Okay, now we skip down. Later on in the same book, in Luke chapter 22, go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels, meaning they happen in the same order, in the same way. John is more descriptive and specific on certain things, gives you a little more detail. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find the same stories, but Luke, I like his perspective on this particular story. So later on in the same book, Jesus is doing his final preparation for the cross. So here he's out giving instructions for all these chapters in Luke, and bam, now he's preparing. It's the final. He's kind of wrapping some things up. He just got done telling Peter, guess what? Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. And you guys, we need to set up for this for the Passover. We need to do all these things. Luke 22, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, when I sent you out with no purse or provision bag or sandals, did you lack anything? Now he's going back to what he told him earlier when he was supposed to witness. He goes, hey, when I told you out to go with nothing before, did you lack anything? No. Why? Jesus was walking with him right here on the earth. Right? If with Christ, we lack nothing. Now remember, Jesus is getting ready to go. And they said, no, we didn't lack anything. Then he said to them, but now let him who has a purse or bag, satchel, take it, and also his provision bag, and let him who has no sword now sell his mantle or his jacket and buy a sword. Wait. Before you said don't, now that you said you're fine without one, now you're saying go get one. Yeah. Why? Because I've been around long enough and now everyone hates you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. See, a sword's not just for defensive, it's for offense. Right? Bible sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm going to go share the gospel. I defend as well. For I tell you that the scripture must be yet fulfilled in me, and he was counted and classed among the wicked, the outlaws, the criminals, for it was written about me as its fulfillment is finally reached and settled. And they looked and said, Lord, here are two swords. He says, fine. How many disciples were there? How many disciples? 12? Two. 1-6 ratio. Swords. And he came out and went, as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, you know what? Jesus said, it's going to be a bad world out there. Why would he tell us not to fear? Why would he tell us to be anxious for nothing in Luke 21, Matthew 24, and all throughout the Gospels? Why would Peter tell us at the end of times, fear nothing? Because there's going to be some fearful times. But the gospel must be preached. The gospel must go forward. So we need to use wisdom and we need to protect not just the body of Christ, but we need to go out there, right? How are we going to navigate this? I need to be as wise as a serpent. What is going on here? We need to pray for pastors, teachers, leaders, evangelists. People are going to the gospel. You need to pray for missionaries. You need to pray for leaders, presidents, people in authority over us. Why? Because it's dangerous out there, everyone. It is dangerous, but we are not to fear. Why? Because the word of God goes out before us. But God is love, but God sent his son, and God is the word. God disciplines the one he loves. God protects the ones he loves from evil. So you and I, all we have to do is do what is right. We can't shrink. We have to continue to do what is right all the time. Well, but if Islam is going to overtake everything anyways and the tribulation's coming, why can't I just run and hide and not say anything? Because the word says you need to be found faithful until I return. Are you responsible for healing anyone? But my responsibility when someone is sick is to go lay hands on the sick and pray and believe that they can be healed. When you're in a marriage situation, what am I supposed to do? It's, you know what the word says? It says, wives, honor and respect your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. Well, I'm only going to do that if she does hers first. Nope, I love my wife regardless. Why? Because I'm doing what is right regardless of the outcome of what she does. I am going to pray for someone to be healed regardless if they continue to be sick, because the word says that's a sign of my faith. And he says, Grant, I'll heal them when I want to get the glory and not you. So regardless of what's going on in this country, well, I don't vote because I know the outcome. It doesn't matter. You're going to stand before God one day. You're going to say, how did you vote and why did you vote that way? Why? How do I know that? Because the Bible says I have to give an account for every single thing I did, word and deed. I have to give an account for that. But what if the outcome is not what I wanted to? It doesn't matter because God's in control of that. He goes, what did you do in the face of what you're going through? So we have a responsibility to come up against evil. We need to protect the body of Christ, and the gospel shall go forth. That is my little sermonette for tonight. But we're going to talk about this more. I know these are serious times, but listen, church, this is a time we need backbone, and we need to stand on the word. It's not what I think. It's what is the word say, not what I think. I don't want to get lost in ideologies and thoughts. What does the scripture say? What does the word say? Because this is a thing that's going to carry us through, because all I know is when I hear that we're going to accept Islamic refugees who say they want to kill us, but we stop the Kurdish refugees who are Christians, you know what I think? This is what I think. Well, where'd we go?
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Okay, all right, so. Don't you feel, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. All right, next one. That makes me laugh every little time I hear it. Okay. Russia and France wreak revenge on ISIS. France. For those of you who know history, okay, France is going all out. They are joining Russia and going all out. So when Russia, okay, here we go. Right to the north there, there's a little piece of land there, Raqqa. That's been in the news. This is where they've been bombing ISIS for the last several days. So France has sent their military, and they're just bombing it. They're just dropping bombs. They just keep going. Just keep going. Russia is just sending, they're just doing the same thing now. They're taking turns. They're crisscrossing each other in the skies as they're giving the thumbs up. They're flying so close. They're thumbs up in each other as they're dropping the bombs. This is what's going on. There's the Tu-160, the Tu-95, and the Tu-22. If you guys see, there's the missile at the bottom. They're dropping those everywhere. The pilots are taking pictures of each other flying next to each other. Although this is serious stuff, you guys, we're at war, and this is serious stuff what's going on, but I'm telling you, they're saying, you know what? We're not going to take it. We're going to come up against evil. Vladimir Putin, this is the pictures that they're taking. This is from the underbelly. They're dropping it. They're showing it on TV. They're doing their strikes. These are the strikes that they're hitting. They're blowing stuff up everywhere. France has the largest aircraft carrier in the European nations, out of all the European nations. They're sending that thing out now. There's serious stuff going on. Things are happening. You and I better be ready because Jesus is coming. The strikes come after it was revealed French jets have pounded targets all throughout the last 2 days into terrorist Syrian strongholds, including command centers and recruitment centers for jihadists. The Russian president wants the missile's cruiser Moscow, which is in the Mediterranean center, to work with France's military. President Putin wants to work with France. Okay, in the end of times, why would all these countries come together? Because there's a common enemy. All these nations, like, I don't get it. Why are they? Because there's a common enemy, and it's drawing people together. The Egyptian plane crash and the weekend wave of terrorist attacks in Paris have raised Russia's determination to fight ISIS. Although concerns remain in the West that its Syrian airstrikes are also targeting rebels who are opposed to Syrian President Assad, but not affiliated with radical groups. This is war. There is no pretty way to do this. This is what's going to continue to happen. Let not your hearts be troubled, everyone. You can't. Because you don't even want to watch the news anymore. And the Bible says, blessed are you who watches this. And don't keep your head in the sand to what is going on. Iran's commander said yesterday, Israel, not ISIS, is behind the Paris attacks. Okay, this is the headlines. I want to read the story, but it's still as laughable as what you just did. Here's the message commander of Iran. He said the Muslim terrorists belonging to ISIS, although murdered at least 129 people in Paris on Saturday, but according to their top Iranian general, he said Israel's to blame. Brigadier General, head of Iran's parliamentary force, made this baffling assertion Tuesday as cited by the semi-official Fars News agency. If we write the word Israel instead of ISIS, the behind the scene of the recent events in France will now come into light. ISIS is the infantry unit of the United States. Okay, this is what's being broadcast all over the Middle East right now. What they're saying, though, is because of the United States' lack of involvement, they've allowed ISIS to come into Iraq after we pulled people out, right? After in Afghanistan and all the different places. So he's blaming the United States. Blaming the United States. He's blaming Israel because they're the ones creating all the tension. If they would just give in to the land, then it would all go away. Oh, sure. We'll stop these three subdivisions and all, it'll be peace everywhere. Not only did the general in the Shia regime blame Israel and the U.S. for being the jihadist group, he blamed Iran's regional rival, Saudi Arabia. Why would he blame Saudi Arabia? They're Sunnis. The Shias don't like the Sunnis. You guys remember? Everyone is against everybody until you have a common enemy. Right now, the only common enemy is Israel and the United States. Get used to it. Why is the United States mentioned in end time prophecy? I believe it's because we just pull out. We're done. We just pull out. This is why the next presidential election is so, it's going to be so important. So important because the Bible says, pray for the peace of Israel, and also who supports Israel, I support. Now, this gets even better now. As a result of not just the announcement from Iran, but the head of the Dutch Socialist Party also Tuesday asserted that the attack in France is connected to Israel because what Israel is doing. The same day, Tuesday, the Swedes are getting in on this. Aren't they supposed to be neutral? Okay, all right, so it's a little joke here. Okay, the same day, Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström also linked the attack to Israel because they won't let the Palestinians have their land back. So what is happening? The people in the EU, they're blaming Israel. People want peace, and they're looking for who's causing the problem. Islam is pointing at it's Israel. Anyone who sticks up for Israel, the United States, we're against you as well. This is how it's forming. This is how the lines are being drawn. So we need to watch out. Watching the news, to watch the alliances, how, but this was broadcast. He made this broadcast all throughout the Middle East. After that, within 1 hour, Dutch and Swedes, they came in and said, we're in agreement with this. We're in agreement with what he's saying. So there's a shifting going on. And I'm going to skip that right now. Okay, sorry. All right. Lastly, the EU activates a mutual defense clause for France. The same day, the Swedes and there's actually two other countries, but the Dutch, they came out and said, we don't support Israel. But they also signed, every single EU member signed, a military assistance to help France fight ISIS. Every single member in the EU. For the first time in EU history, all the defense ministers unanimously decided to activate the mutual defense clause, meaning you attacked one of our EU countries, so you attacked all of us. The president of Jordan, or King Abdullah, and Kelly and I were having dinner last night, and it's interesting. And not all our dinners are about this, just so you know. So I was just sitting there, I was looking at news. I got ESPN going on. I'm checking all the different types of news. I'm just scanning through. And then, bam, all of a sudden, King Abdullah from Jordan comes up. He was a former pilot himself in the military. So here he is. He's normally in a suit. If you guys show him, a good-looking guy, hair part on the side, about his early 50s, and bam, here he is in his BDUs or battle dress uniforms. He's all ready, and he says he's getting ready to go lead the charge. This is yesterday, bam, headlines. All throughout the Middle East, it said King Abdullah says this is the beginning of World War III. King Abdullah said this is the beginning of World War III. Why? After EU said, you attack one of us, so the whole EU is coming down. France is requesting help and assistance throughout all of Europe. And today, all Europe united answered yes. The EU diplomacy chief, Federica Mogherini, said in a press conference, the European Union expressed its strongest full support and readiness to provide all the aid and assistance asked for and whatever they needed. If a member state is the victim of armed aggression on its territory, the other member state shall have towards it an obligation of aid and assistance by all means in their power after a vote is taken. It is a very important political act. It will enable us to have the necessary bilateral discussions and the essential coordination to let us translate these commitments into action. France expects cooperation from all the EU. This is so, France expects complete cooperation in Syria, Iraq, and northern Lebanon. Syria, Iraq, and northern Lebanon. It just so happens that is the Babylonian Empire. What we've been studying, the time of the end, those 11 weeks, and in the last, and even tonight, we're going to get into this pretty heavy. This is the Babylonian Empire. Where do you, okay, hold on. Revelation 17, Revelation's 18. Also in Daniel, we're going to start chapter 4 tonight. That in Revelation is called Mystery Babylon. You guys remember? Well, why can't they just say Babylonian Empire? Because John wrote this on the Isle of Patmos while he was in exile, and he never would have got off the island, and the writings would have been thrown away. In addition to launching strikes against ISIS and protecting its own territories, France is now sending foot soldiers to Lebanon, Syria, and northeast and eastern Africa. If you guys remember last week, northeast and eastern Africa is part of the war of Gog and Magog. You guys remember the country of Djibouti? Remember last week, China came and set up a military base as just to the east of Ethiopia. This is all Bible prophecy, everything that we've been studying, and this is why we study, because the Bible comes alive when you study. It's like, oh my goodness, this is everything we've happened. So here is the EU nations. Everything in blue is the EU nations. Every single one of those nations signed on to help France, they're going to start bombing ISIS. All these nations are going to start coming together. All of these nations are coming together. And they're coming down, and they're coming down hard. So in the midst, everyone, of what's going on, sometimes you just need to let it out. And here we go. Whew. Jesus is coming, everyone. I can't wait either. All right, everyone got their notes? I took a little bit longer tonight with current events, but I think it's very important because the things that we've been discussing in our notes is actually taking place in our current events. So Prophecies of Daniel Revealed, Part 7. Once again, next week we'll be off, the day before Thanksgiving. And the following week, you feel free to wear your Sansa belt pants to church because it's going to only be 6 days and you'll have time to lose weight. Okay, so the next step of our study will be to focus on the area of ancient Babylon, the area of ancient Media Persia, and the area of ancient Greece, and some of the area of the old Roman Empire. This is going to be for the next several weeks as we go through this, because this is what Daniel's talking about. Revelation gets specificity. Daniel goes in detail, and what we're on doing is we're uncovering the revelations of Daniel, not only just for the book of Daniel, but it helps us understand how imagery and symbolism is used throughout the word. Imagery, symbolism, always defines itself in God's word. So what we're even looking at the book of Daniel and Revelation is we're looking at how the Bible interprets itself. You will find the definitions of, like, what are they talking about? Oh, you'll read a little while later and go, that's what they were talking. It defines itself. I've listed the countries below that will be contained inside those empires, and we'll have a map in a couple weeks, but I didn't need it for tonight because of what we were speaking of. But there are countries that are, these are the countries that are going to be heavily involved with end time prophecy based on the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. The reason I say it's based on those two books is I'm not getting it from any other author. I'm not getting it from any other reader. It's right out of the book of Daniel and out of the book of Revelation. So all we're doing is we're looking at the empires that he's talking about. We're looking at the countries that they're talking about. And here they are. So those empires that are overlaid, the empires that are overlaid in Daniel and Revelation, the countries that we're talking about modern day will be Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Greece, Turkey, Afghanistan, Iran, Libya, Pakistan, Ethiopia, Morocco, Israel, several of the southern Russian states after the fall of the Soviet Union, Germany, some in the southern China as well. When you say in the Russian states, it's a little bit to the east there. Germany, Spain, Bulgaria, Romania, Italy, and England. Now, interesting enough, those countries typically are around the Mediterranean. And to the east of the Mediterranean, this is where in the Roman Empire and the statue, when it splits to the western part and the eastern part of the old Roman Empire, the eastern part would obviously be like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all those things. And the western would be around the Mediterranean. We'll get into that specifically. I'm not going purposely quick, but it's not what we're focused on tonight. Most of the countries you will see over the next several weeks and are listed are Muslim or Islamic countries. And it's not a coincidence. This is a clue and help us understand that Islam will be involved in the time of the end. Islam will be fulfilling many of the prophecies and expectations that are in the Bible. Now remember, the Quran lists things at the time of the end that they are supposed to do in order for the time of the end to come. The Bible is telling us what is going to happen at the end. It just says, be obedient to my word, fight the good fight of faith, don't be scared, don't be afraid, but this is what is going to take place. The Quran says, this is what you have to do, and they self-fulfill their own prophetic book. You guys understand that? It's not really a prophetic book. They're doing it. It's like whenever they decided to do it, they did it. Well, why didn't they do it before then? Because God chose this time as the perfect ordained time. Well, why didn't he choose 100 years ago? Because Israel wasn't a nation yet. See, well, Islam could have did this whenever they wanted. They could have did self-fulfilling prophecy. Why didn't they do it sooner? Because the restrainer in 2 Thessalonians wouldn't let them. He held them down and says, you're not doing this yet because the time isn't right yet. Why? Israel's got to come in nation again. This technology's got to be advanced. I got to have a one world government. I got to have this one world religion. All these things that have the RFID chips and a one world, all these things have to take place yet. And my word has yet to be fulfilled, so I can't allow them to do this. So even if they wanted to do self-fulfilling prophecy, God would not allow them to do it. But now as the restrainer is pulling away, whoosh, you see it exponentially. I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. What's going on? Yes, it's crazy how fast it's happened, right? It just seems like yesterday we were watching Happy Days. Why can't it be like Fonzie? Can't we just call for a Coke and just, you know, hang at Al's? And I mean, it's like, why can't it be like that? It's like, because Jesus has to come. I would rather be happy day up there than happy days here. So don't get caught up, I just wish it could go back. No, I want to move forward to the promise that God has for us. So Daniel 12:4. But Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many are going to run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Bam, close up the book. I'm going to give you enough. Let people just scramble around, start figuring out this word. Let knowledge increase for a while. Why? Because this Islamic thing, they want to get going too, but I'm going to hold them down because I need my word to be fulfilled before I let them do and start taking over Syria, before they take Iraq. I have to have all these empires come into place yet because my word that I've already spoken has to be fulfilled. My word has to be performed before I allow them to do what I already told them that they're going to do. Revelation 22:10. John wrote, and he further told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book and make no secret of them, for the time when things are brought to a crisis and the period of fulfillment is near. So he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book any longer. So Revelation 22:10, he goes, don't seal it any longer. Open it up. Here's Revelations. Do not seal this one up. Daniel seal up at the end. At the end of Revelation, he goes, now don't seal this one up though. Don't make this one difficult to understand. This is why we break it down, because it is, when you break this down and study it, especially the day in which we're living, isn't it so much easier to understand? 30 years ago, I remember graphs and charts and flannel boards and going, even the people we're talking about going, I'm guessing this could be it. But the closer we get, I can see it all right in front of me. I see who this is. I see these countries. I see it forming. So Revelation says, okay, don't seal this up anymore. This is not confused anymore. Here you guys go. Revelations 1:1. Blessed, amplified. This is the revelation or the apocalypse. Remember, apocalypto doesn't mean, oh, dreadful. No, it's the revelation. Apocalypse means revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of the divine ministries. The previous 65 books, this is the unveiling. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants certain things. What are things? Promises in his word, which must shortly and speedily come to pass. His bondservants, he wants them to know certain promises in the word. He wants us to know. Matthew 24:33, you can jot it down there. It says in Matthew 24:33, and I command you to know the signs of the times. I command you. So Jesus spoke it, bam. Now, all these years later, John wrote, guess what, bondservants? There are certain things that you were commanded to know. Now know them, because they're going to happen very quickly. Word confirming word. The word is confirming word. Now, before we continue, we're going to go to Revelation a little bit tonight to confirm Daniel. Like I said, it's always good to use the Bible to confirm the Bible. But one of the biggest differences between these two books in prophetically is that Daniel was written for the nation of Israel. He said, Israel, this is what is going to happen to you at the time of the end. Daniel's prophecies concerns the nation of Israel. However, John's prophecy involves Israel and it involves the church. John saw at the time of the end a bigger picture and specific picture. Well, why didn't Daniel see the same thing? Because Daniel was told to shut the book up. I've already told you enough. You guys can't even comprehend what I told you. You know that Jesus said that in the New Testament too? He goes, man, there's so much more I need to tell you. He goes, but you guys couldn't even handle it. You can't handle, that's Mr. T. You can't handle the truth. Okay, so Mr. T's a Christian. Okay, so yeah, so there's more to this than, but we can't comprehend it all. We can't comprehend it all. So Jesus addresses the churches through John in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. We talked about that. That was months ago. But from that point on, he deals with Israel and all the Gentile nations of the world. He talks about the armies coming together and what's going to happen and everybody who's... So both Daniel in the book of Daniel and John in the book of Revelation deal with Gentile nations and Gentile empires that are going to affect Israel, the Jewish people, and the city of Jerusalem. So both of them do that, but then the revelation goes beyond that and gives more specificity. So the book of Daniel, there was a fourth kingdom that Daniel saw. Many biblical scholars call it the nondescriptive beast. John gives it more description, more detail. The beast in Daniel had seven heads and 10 horns. The Bible talks about these 10 horns or 10 kings that are going to rule at the end. So as we've been going through chapter 2 of the statue, it says there's going to be these 10 kings at the end. And these 10 kings or 10 nations have been mingling. You guys remember that? So you have this iron and this clay, and this the clay of democracy and the iron of Islam. So these democratic nations or countries have been trying to infuse or put themselves on the Islamic nations, and it says, and they can't mingle together. I think we found that to be true. Because democracy doesn't take in consideration religion. Where Islam is a religion and a government. You don't have one without the other, or a caliphate or Sharia law. You can't have one without the other. Democracy comes in and says, hey, y'all vote, any religion you want, boom. Islam goes, any religion we want? It is Islam, and this is the country of, this is the government of, and this is the religion of. They can't mix. Daniel 7:23. So the angel said, and the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, tread it down and break it into pieces and crush it. And as for the 10 horns out of the kingdom, 10 kings shall arise and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the former ones. He'll subdue it and put down 3 kings. So the fourth kingdom in this passage is Rome. When we talk about the 10 kings who will rule, they will be under the Antichrist, and this hasn't happened yet. There's 10 kings that come that are going to rule. Then there's a Antichrist who comes out of and rules the other 10. Remember, the 10 kings signed a coalition the first 42 months of the tribulation. Then the Antichrist comes, and he leads those 10 nations in the last 42 months. Later on, we'll be talking about the beast and going back to the feet and the toes, specifically where they are and what's happening. But in Daniel chapter 2, which is, like I said, one of the greatest prophetic visions ever in the Bible, starting with Babylon going all the way to the end of days with the 10 kingdoms, it goes all the way to Christ's return. He's telling us all the way to the end. So here's Revelation now. Daniel talks about the 10 toes, and here's Revelations now. The 10 horns that you observed are 10 rulers or kingdoms who have as yet received no royal dominion. This hasn't happened yet. But together they are to receive power and authority as rulers for a single hour along with the beast. These have one common policy, opinion, and purpose, and they will deliver their power and authority over to the beast system, one world religion, one world government, which has the false prophet and the Antichrist at the head. You guys remember this now? So the beast is a system, and it's a one world government and a one world religion, having a false prophet and having the Antichrist. Verse 14, they will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will triumph over them. For he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and those with him and on his side are chosen and called and loyal and faithful followers. There's a key there. And who are on his side? Make sure you're on the right side. Now we're going to go to Daniel chapter 4 now. We did Daniel chapter 2 for a couple weeks. Now Daniel chapter 4. Just so you know, Daniel chapter 3 is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the furnace. You guys remember that in Sunday school growing up? Right? That's in Daniel chapter 3. So there's some end time prophetic things going on, Daniel chapter 2 and 4 and 8 and 10. And then in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw them in the fiery furnace, right? It says, even if God doesn't save us from this fiery furnace, we will still serve him. Even if it doesn't turn out the way we want it to. This goes, if you were here on Sunday, that's what I was speaking on. Even if God doesn't do what I think he should do, because it's for his will and his purpose. It's not about my purpose and will, because if it was my will and my purpose, I would never want to go through any pain. Oh, I have an abscessed tooth. Oh, God, can you just pull it out tonight? I don't want to go to the dentist. Oh, God, why can't I have a Ferrari? Oh, God, why can't I just win the lotto? Oh, God, please help me. I mean, think about it. We wouldn't do anything. But we're supposed to be, we're here for his pleasure and to go witness. Daniel chapter 5 is when King Nebuchadnezzar is out of the picture, and that's King Belshazzar. So just to give you, that's 3 and 5, but chapter 4. This is the dream of the tree or the tree trunk. How many of you guys remember that growing up? The ever-popular vision of the tree, tree trunk. Yeah, and the flannel boards really didn't fire that one up growing up. So does everyone know what a flannel board? Everyone know what a flannel board is? For those of you who are younger than me, because I think they went out because, it was bad. It was the flannel board is, it was a board with flannel on it. I'm sorry. A skateboard is a board with skates. No, okay, so a flannel board usually was, I believe it was like a 3x5 board, and it was on an easel, and it usually had different landscapes on the back. And it was like the ocean or just a blue. And then you actually had paper figurines, basically, of different Bible characters, and they would actually stick them right to the flannel board, and they could move them around. And this is how they would actually share the story. This would make the Bible come alive. You saw the imagery of that, and the teacher would actually move them around. So this is, but I don't remember the dream of the tree trunk. But the king dreams, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of a big tree growing up all the way into heaven. Now remember in chapter 2, he was freaking out. He had this dream. He couldn't remember the dream, and he wanted someone to interpret the dream, but he didn't know what he dreamt. Daniel said, okay, here's the statue, here's the gold, right? Here's the gold, here's the silver, here's the bronze, here's the brass. And he went down all the way to the iron, the mix of clothes, and he says, hey, king, this is what this all means. Now the king has another dream, chapter 4. The tree has fruit on it, and the birds from all the earth are landing on it. Everyone's happy. It's a beautiful tree. It's just a great tree. We're going to read it in Daniel chapter 4 in Amplified. The visions of my head as I laid on my bed were these. I saw, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its weight and its height was great. The tree grew and was strong, and its height reached the heavens, and the sight of it reached to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were fair, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The living creatures of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. Wow, isn't that a great dream? Wow, that's just great. And this is where all your dreams, too, then they take the turn for the worst. Here we go. Now, verse 13, we're introduced to a watcher. Watcher, also known, and this, once again, chapters 2 through 8, written in Aramaic and not in Hebrew, but this is called a guardian angel. Okay, so this is an angel, a watcher. But then, verse 13, next verse, I saw in the visions of my head as I laid on bed, and behold, a watcher, a guardian angel, a holy one, came down from heaven. And this angel begins to cry out with a message. He cried out loud, or decreed, with all his might and said, cut down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the living creatures flee from under it and the fowls from its branches. Verse 15, nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the midst of the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of the heavens, and let him share the lot of the creatures in the grass and the earth. Let his nature and understanding be changed from a man's, and let a beast's nature and understanding be given to him, and let seven times or years pass over him. Oh, I'm dreaming of this beautiful tree, and then whack, someone whacks it down, bam, it's gone, and now, wait, what's going on? The nature, I'm going to change from a man to a beast? Wait, everything was going great, and then something happened. So what happened is the phrase, let seven times pass over him. Times, as we have studied in past times, I'm sorry. Okay, times meaning, we look at this, time, T-I-M-E, means 1 year. Half time is 6 months. Does everyone remember that? Well, how do you know that? Because Bible interprets Bible. I just want to go through this real quick. Once again, we're teaching how to study the Bible. Because Daniel and Revelation, if you can get Daniel and Revelation, you can get all the other books. Because the symbolism is used mostly throughout these two books. Daniel 7:25. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the time and the laws, and the saints shall be given in his hand for a time, two times, and a half time, 3 1/2 years. How they spoke back there in the Aramaic and the Chaldean people, time meant, this is even in the Greek and the Hebrew language, time meant 1 year. So two times meant 2 years, and half time. So you have 1 + 2.5, 3.5 years. So the Antichrist here in 725, he's going to wear out all the saints of the Most High for 3.5 years. Where is he going to wear them out at? He's going to be in Jerusalem. You guys remember that? after he sets up shop. Okay. Daniel 12:7. I heard the man clothed in linen above the waist of the river. He held up his right and left hand towards the heaven. For a time, times and a half time, 3 1/2 years. So when people read this story and they look at the scriptures, especially in Daniel 4, they go, okay, so what's the, who cares? So you skip over time, times, and half time. It's like, I don't care. What does that mean? Wait, 3 1/2 years? Ding, 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 ding. Wait, if I understand that Daniel and Revelation are related, and Revelation actually says 42 months all throughout it and 1,260 days, which is 3 1/2 years, you understand the correlation between the two. So in the book of Revelation, I put down four passages that we used quite a bit. And for brevity tonight, you can just go through those yourself, but all they do is they show where it says 1,260 days, which is 42 months, which is 3 1/2 years. Daniel and Revelation's confirming the same visions that they saw means the same thing. They saw a period of time of 3 1/2 years and 3 1/2 years. In Leviticus 26:18, if you'll not, for all your hearts, if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times for your sins. 7 times. How many years is that? How many commandments were there? 10 that they were breaking. How long were they in exile in Babylon? 70 years. Once again, what we're doing is, Daniel and Revelation is not the only place where they use these verbiage or terms. All throughout the Bible, because Hebrew language and all that stuff, this is where, so when you see these words time, and they're talking about a specific period, it means a year. So, this is Bible explaining the Bible. Oh, real quick, Bible versions. I'm not going to get too heavy in this tonight for time's sake, but studying the Bible, you'll see in the notes, I always use King James and Amplified. Now, I'm not saying if you're using another Bible, it's wrong or anything like that. What I have found in my studies, though, is, and people say, well, no, the CSEV and the EV and this and this and this, oh, that's more correctly in the human language and the English, and I okay, that's fine. What I found is the Greek and the Hebrew, it's closest to the Greek and Hebrew, is the King James. This is for me, after study. Then in the Amplified, it always gives me the parentheticals, which gives me a couple synonyms for those words that I'm looking up. So it helps me study. If you want to get a parallel Bible, that's great. I have a King James and Amplified parallel. Because some people ask me, how do you study? King James, Amplified. This Bible is old, and it has so many notes and writings from myself and my dad. This is my dad's Bible from when I was born. Someone gave him this Bible. So this is, it's like 20 years old. And okay. So, plus 25. And so I have all the notes in here. It's a King James. It's a Dake's Bible. All my notes and references in Greek and Hebrew are in here, so it's difficult to part with this. But once you get into you got to have a good study Bible. Some Bibles, and you have to, once again, even the authors of Bibles, got to be careful who's authoring the Bible. Some people have 40 writers, some people have 400 writers. They don't care who it is, and you understand the interpretation. So it is important, but it's important what you read, but it's important you read God's Word. So the prophetic interpretation to the dream is very interesting, because when you look at this dream, it talks about watchers, and it also says it was decreed. So Daniel 4, I saw the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and the Holy One came down from heaven, and he decreed and said something. He spoke something. Definition of decree is an official order issued by a legal authority. Someone's proclaiming something's going to happen, and it's a legal binding thing. God's promises are legal and they're binding. Praise God. I'll edit the praise God in later. Okay. God's promises in his word are legal and they're binding. Why do I say that? God even said, I'm not a man that I should lie. If I said I was going to do this, then I will do that. So then we have to be careful. What did he really say he was going to do? This is what got Adam and Eve into trouble. Because Satan said, didn't God really say that? See, when people try to search the scriptures to say, man, I want to be right in this. I want to be right. I want to be right. I want to be right. Okay, give me a translation that's in agreement with me. That's why you got to be careful what translations you read. But something was decreed. Something was spoken. And what happened is King Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the temple. He took the treasures of Babylon. And there were Jewish people killed in that invasion. I believe that the holy ones mentioned here, the saints praying to God, because of this, we want you to get after them for the treatment of what just happened here. There's something going on in the heavenlies. Verse 17, let's do the Amplified. This sentence is by the decree of the heavenly watchers. The decision is made by the word for the holy ones to the intent that the living may know, so that the living, Babylon, the people that came in and took Daniel, took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they attacked the temple, you guys remember that? 586 BC, and they took all the treasures back. We want you to come against them. What are they going to do? Chop down the tree. Right? The watcher said, time to cut the tree down. I decree that your tree is about to be cut down. I want it, and everyone in the heavenly said, we want this so they know that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the humblest and lowliest of men. This is huge right here. They're saying, I want God to perform his word, not so I get the glory, so he gets the glory. I want every man and every person to see that God can raise up and depose and do whatever he wants at any time he wants to. But an angel comes down and decrees this judgment. Now here's the interpretation. The tree itself is the kingdom of Babylon. It's the empire. It was cut down, and we'll find out later that King Nebuchadnezzar had a nervous breakdown when it was taken from him. He was driven off to his throne and out of the palace to live in the field. Verse 19, chapter 4, same thing. Then Daniel was astonished and dismayed and stricken dumb for a while, concerned about the king's destiny. Daniel's understanding what this dream means. And his thoughts were troubled, agitated, and alarmed him. The king said, let not the dream or its interpretation trouble or alarm you. My lord, may the dream be those who hate you and as a message for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew great and was strong, whose height reached the heavens and which was visible to all the earth, whose foliage was beautiful and abundant. If you, verse 22, it is you, O king. You have grown and become strong. Your greatness has increased. It reaches to the heavens and your dominion to the ends of the earth. Now, why would he be saying this to King Nebuchadnezzar? He's the one that invaded them and took them. Why? Because he just saw Daniel, right, in chapter 2. He saw, remember, he interpreted the dream and he told him what the dream was. And he said, how great is Daniel? And he slaughtered everybody else. Next chapter, chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throw in the fiery furnace. You know what? King goes, blessed are you. Blessed is this God of Daniel. So King Nebuchadnezzar is changing. You guys see this? He keeps seeing God's glory, and he's changing. He's getting stretched here. So now Daniel's concerned, oh, no, God wants to get rid of this guy now. Verse 23, where is the king? Saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from the heaven. Cut the tree down, destroy it, but leave the stump with the band of iron bronze into the tender grass, let him be wet with dew and the living creatures. Verse 24, this is the interpretation. It is the decree which has come upon my lord the king. You shall be driven from among men. Can you imagine telling the king this? And he just, in the previous two chapters, he's killed hundreds of people, his wise men, because he didn't like what they had to say. You, king, are going to be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass as the oxen, and you shall be wet with the dew of the heavens. And seven times or years shall pass over you until you learn and know and recognize that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he wills. And in that, it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree. Your kingdom shall be sure to you after you have learned and know that God in heaven rules the earth. Wow. Kingdom's going to be stripped from you. You're going to be thrown out into the field for 7 years. Interesting. Here is the tree's cut down. King Nebuchadnezzar has to go around 7 times. Now here's Daniel, pick it up, verse 33. The very hour the thing was in process of being fulfilled. Daniel spoke something. Remember, Daniel wasn't called. King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, prophet Daniel, can you come here for a second? He wasn't a prophet until afterwards because what he said had to come true. So he spoke this. This is what this dream is, verse 33. And that very hour, the thing, what's a thing? Promise in God's word. That very hour, the promise or the vision that he had in his word was in process of being fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among the dead and did eat grass like an oxen. His body was wet with dew in heavens until his hair grew like eagles and his nails like birds. At the end of the days, 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding and the right use of my mind returned to me. Wow. I bless the Most High God. I praise and honor and glorify him who lives forever, whose dominion and everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to whose will? In the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? Now at the same time, my reason and understanding returned to me, and for the glory of the kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me, and my counselors, my lord, sought me out. I was reestablished in my kingdom, and still more greatness than before was added to me. This flies in the face of just love people. And no, God, love is discipline. God loved him so much that he says, go away, and you need to embrace my greatness. I'm going to discipline you. I come up against you. King Nebuchadnezzar, though, had this disease where his hair grew out, his fingernails grew long, and he ate grass like an animal. One of the notes in Dake's Bible said that he had lycanthropy, and it comes from two words, leukos, meaning wolf, and anthropos, meaning human. This is what is used in the original language in Aramaic. He was part man and part animal or wolf. He was wolf man. He was a wolf man. He was a werewolf. That's what lycanthropy means. The Bible described what he looked like, and if you look up the original text, this is what he looked like for 7 years. Pastor, I have a hard time with that. Do you believe that the Red Sea was parted? Do you guys believe the Red Sea was parted? I believe that Noah put all these animals on an ark. I believe that Jonah was in the whale for 3 days. I believe that when Jesus comes, the clouds are going to part, that the trumpet's going to sound, and we're all going to fly up in the air. So then I have to believe this. God's not a man that he should lie. It is crazy, though, isn't it? So here's the crazy thing. The stump was to remain in the earth, meaning it's going to grow back. Okay, who was the tree? Babylon, right? Daniel said, oh, you king, your empire, Babylon, is going to be taken away from you. But the decree was, but leave the stump in the ground because it's going to grow back. What's going to grow back? The Babylonian Empire. It just so happens the Babylonian Empire consists of Syria, Iraq, and northern Lebanon, which Revelation calls Mystery Babylon, which is in the news today and yesterday. I just got goosebumps, you guys. This is the word coming to life right now. Leave the stumps, verse 23, leave the stump of the roots there, even with the band of iron and brass. Okay, iron and brass. Remember, he is living in the wild beast, and the book of Revelation, chapter 13, the Antichrist is called the beast. King Nebuchadnezzar has this breakdown, but there are two metal bands left. Those metal bands, iron and brass. Why is this important? Greece and Rome. Remember they came after the Babylonian Empire? You guys remember that? Brass and bronze is the image of the Grecian Empire and the image of the Roman Empire. So why are these two metals on this tree and not the others. There's no gold on the tree because gold represents the Babylonian Empire, which was the tree. There's no band because the tree is growing back. The tree is coming back, and it's going to grow out of those two previous empires. It's going to be contained. That's why those countries we listed on page one contain those countries from these Babylonian Empire, from the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. Is everyone with me on that? It's going to grow right back out. Where is it going to spring out of? Those empires. And the book of Revelation, it says that the beast has seven heads, and we're going to talk about those empires a little bit later on, a couple weeks from now. But those are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And that seventh empire is coming at the end of days, and that is the first 42 months of the tribulation. The last 42 months is called the Great Tribulation or Jacob's Trouble. We talked about that as well. It's right in the Bible. The Bible describing, explaining the Bible away. Revelation 13:1. I stood on the sandy beach. This is John. I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 crowns and a blasphemous title or name on his heads. This is where it gets interesting. It says, on one of the heads. On one of the heads. Everyone see that? On one of the heads. It doesn't say on the head of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not going to be shot in the head. This is not what we're reading. Forget the novels that you saw because it doesn't talk about this. Oh, this guy's going to get shot in the head. He's going to come right back to life. No, it's talking about these nations and empires that were cut down are going to come back. Something's going to come back. One of them is going to come back to life. Who's going to come back to life? Starts with a B. Okay, bad one. Okay. It was cut down, and it's going to come back. Revelations 3:13-3. I saw one of the heads that was wounded to death, and it's one of his heads. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 12. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell there to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We're going to be worshiping this empire, this mystery Babylon. They're going to be in charge. They're going to be ruling. Is everyone with me on this? We're going to be worshiping. So one of the empires, mystery Babylon, of past history is dead. It'll be revived. Babylon Empire. Why? Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 4. Revelation 17, Revelation 18. The empire will be Babylon. The whole entire stump is Babylon. It's been cut down, and it's comprised now of the Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire. Out of those two empires are going to be overlaid and spring forth again now into the Babylonian Empire. So King Nebuchadnezzar has a breakdown, and the time is represented by the tree. God left the stump in the ground to bring him back 7 years later. How long is the tribulation according to the Bible? 7 years. Daniel's a foreshadowing, or the story of King Nebuchadnezzar is this foreshadowing of what is to come that Daniel said is going to come at the end of time or the end of days or the time of the end. So the area of ancient Babylon, which is Syria, parts of Lebanon, and the country of Iraq, is going to come out at the end of days as the headquarters of the Antichrist. I thought you said it was Jerusalem. Yes, the very first 42 months of the tribulation, it will be in that area of mystery Babylon. Does everyone understand that? He will rule from there. The false prophet will be ruling from Rome, Italy. This is right out of Revelations. What do you think what religion is going to come out of Rome, Italy? It's okay to say it. Catholic churches in Rome, Italy, everyone. So it says at the end of time, there's going to be this religion that's in Rome, Italy, and the government is going to rise up in Babylon, old Babylon, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon. It says, and those two, 42, they're just going to rule for 42 months or times, two times and a half. They're going to combine. Here's Iraq area over here. Well, if you're looking at me, Rome, Italy over here. They're going to come down and they're going to take over Jerusalem and stop the sacrifices at the temple. And they're not making sacrifices there. So that means they have to start making sacrifices first. But they won't make sacrifices until a peace treaty is signed. The peace treaty won't be signed until after the war of Gog and Magog. You and I are seeing the formation of the war of Gog and Magog. Oh my goodness, I can't believe the time. Okay, what am I going to do? Okay, here we go. If you have to go get your children right now, I understand. If you guys give me about 3 or 4 minutes, and I'll be good. I promise, and I won't go so fast, you have no idea what I'm saying. Okay. This is why there's no gold band on the stump, because the stump is going to grow back as Babylon. The territory from old Grecian Empire and the territory from the old Roman Empire comes together to create the new headquarters in Babylon. Those two bands, Daniel chapter 4, I mean, you guys think, well, this is 2,600 years ago he saw this thing happening. So the stump vision in chapter 4 that almost never gets preached is one of the greatest prophetic chapters of the Bible. It confirms what we're seeing happen right now. It reveals to you and I, just as King Nebuchadnezzar came back, so will Babylon at the end of time. They're already rebuilding Babylon. They're already rebuilding the banks of the Euphrates and the Tigris River. So how, Pastor Grant, how can you prove this? Revelation 17, Revelation chapter 18. The two chapters all talk about mystery of Babylon, and we went through the whole book of Revelations, and I took you through all the kingdoms and how that's going to take place. And all of this is the preview of the seven-year kingdom of the beast system. This is what we've studied so far. So I'm going to give here's Thanksgiving time next week. We had that week off. So I'm going to give you in 2 minutes a synopsis of what the last 7 weeks, including tonight, is all about. First, it says that 10 nations will confirm a covenant with Israel for 7 years. 10 nations are going to make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. They're not going to make that covenant until the war of Gog and Magog, because they're going to try to take Israel out and they can't. So they're going to sign a peace treaty or a covenant, saying, Israel, please leave us alone, and we won't touch you for 3.5 years, so they will start doing their sacrifices again. That's in Daniel 9:27, okay? That's in Daniel 9:27. Then, happening in Daniel 4, King Nebuchadnezzar becomes a beast for 7 years, foreshadowing the tribulation period. What happens to King Nebuchadnezzar? Because at the end of time, guess what? You know that Satan is going to have to recognize that Jesus won? He won. At the end of days, 7 years, King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34. Now, the Bible tells us in page 24, the Bible tells us in Revelation 13:1 that John saw a beast rising out of the sea. That was the Antichrist. That's verse 13 and 1. Now, this is important. This is verse 1 John 2:22. Out of these passages, it says that he saw these nations, these beast nations, rising up out of the sea, the Mediterranean, surrounding the Mediterranean, these Islamic nations. And it says, across their foreheads was blasphemy. Just as a reminder, we went through this before, but on that, you will see, and not just in ISIS with the black banners, but they have the green, the red, and the white. Across there, it says, there is no God but Allah, and Allah has no son. That is what's written across those banners. Cross their head when they have their inscriptions writing. 1 John 2:22. Who is such a liar and who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist. He denies and refuses to acknowledge the Father and the Son. But they believe in Esau or Jesus. No, they don't believe he. They believe he's a prophet. They do not believe he is the Son of God. 1 John 4:3. Every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard that was coming and now is already in the world. The spirit is already here. Anyone who says that there's no such thing, God does not have a son. There's no such thing. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Guess what? That's what Islam thinks. Secondly, we realize that the king is living like a beast for a seven-year period, and at the end of the seven-year period, the kingdom gets restored. At the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. New heavens, new earth. So seven times or 7 years has to pass over, which represents the seven-year tribulation. There are seven Gentile empires which are going to affect the world. The seventh empire of Bible prophecy will be a short period of time, 42 months. That's what the word says. Then they will come down from Mystery of Babylon and take over Jerusalem for 3.5 years or 42 months as well. So what happens at the end? What gets restored? That's in Matthew 21, 42. And that is the stone that the builders rejected is now going to become the cornerstone. The very thing that we saw in Daniel chapter 2 at the end when the stone crushed the 10 toes and 10 kingdoms, you guys remember that? This is the picture of Jesus at the end of the seven-year tribulation setting up his kingdom. That's when you and I fly back down here. And we come up and we set up shop. This is the end. Did you guys, I mean, this is awesome. Daniel chapter 4, I mean, now you know the vision of the tree or the tree trunk. It's just one of the coolest things. You know what? You can just, your other Christian friends, you impress them very greatly if you told them the story of the tree trunk and what it meant. It's just great. You guys get this tonight? Isn't this awesome? God's word confirming God's word. All right, we're about to take a 2-week break. Let's all stand, and we're going to pray.